Well, thank you, Paul, for that kind introduction. And first of all, when it says that I've been the COO of the CME Group since 2010, that doesn't sound like a very long time. I've actually been with the company for 30 years, started out at the Chicago Board of Trade. My life and my roots have been in the agribusiness community, very, very near and dear to my heart. And I can't even tell you how much, on behalf of the CME Group and myself personally, what an honor it is to be here with all of you today. It was very gracious of you to involve us and to allow us to come speak to you about a topic that I know has been very, very near and dear to everyone's hearts. I know there's always a lot of concerns on the minds of beef producers as it relates to hedging and futures markets in general. But certainly, this year presents a very different level of difficulty given the failure of MF Global. And I'm here to share with you today the CME Group's perspective on things and provide some updates that I hope will address for all of you many concerns that you have in your minds. Now, as hedgers, you experienced an unprecedented shock to the market a few months ago with the bankruptcy of MF Global and the shortfall in customer segregated funds. In the wake of that event, we've heard concerns from the NCBA members. I've been in contact with a number of them. I've made some good friends under some very difficult circumstances, I might add, and I appreciate that. And I know some of you are wondering about the long-term safety of the futures, and more immediately about whether or not you'll see money you invested with MF Global returned in full. Those two things, I assure you, the protection of our customers and the integrity of our markets have been the primary concerns for all of us since this happened. And I'm very happy to say that just yesterday we took a very important first step in strengthening protections for customer funds in the future. Some of you may have read about our Family Farmer and Rancher Protection Fund, which in the case of a future insolvency of a clearing member or a market participant causing customer losses, will provide up to $25,000 to individual farmers and ranchers and up to $100,000 to co-ops that hedge their risks at CME Group futures markets as a means to offset any of those losses. Now, I'll discuss this fund a little bit more in a moment, but I would first like to review with you briefly the status of the MF Global situation overall. For a very long time, in fact, for about 150 years, farmers, ranchers, agribusiness never worried about the safety of their money when hedging on futures exchanges. And at the clearinghouse, our clearinghouse, where $2.2 billion of your money was held, in fact, that system continued to work. Unfortunately, at the firm level, MF Global violated the system, and many of you are now awaiting the return of funds. And if you're affected by this situation, we fully understand that the farmers, other ranchers, and lenders that you do business with are affected as well. Now, for you to do your job, they must have confidence in the futures. They must have confidence in the futures markets, ability to manage price risk. This has been an industry-wide blow, to say the least, to the heart of the commodities markets, to agricultural producers, processors, and distributors alike. And that blow was dealt by the violations committed by MF Global. As MF Global's primary exchange operator and one of the regulators, CME Group has faced a lot of questions following MF Global's failure about how a shortfall in customer funds occurred, about the security of our clearing operation, and most importantly, about what needs to be done to restore confidence. Though at times it may feel like progress has been slow, and admittedly, we would all like to see customer money returned more quickly, I do think it's very important to point out that what we've accomplished, which has been quite a bit since the bankruptcy on October 31st. We at the CME Group acted aggressively and with as much speed as possible, as the law would allow, to share information with customers and to give them, as soon as possible, full access to their accounts. In the week following the bankruptcy filing, after receiving approval from the bankruptcy court, we successfully transferred 15,000 accounts and $1.45 billion of customer monies. Within 2 weeks of that filing, we offered a $250 million guarantee to the trustee. Our goal was to give him the confidence to accelerate the distribution of funds to customers without a loss to that bankruptcy estate. A week later, we increased this guarantee to $500 million. In addition to that, we also announced the CME Trust would grant $50 million. This trust, which was established in 1969 to offset losses from a potential clearing member insolvency, we determined would be pledged to help offset any losses suffered by CME Group customers in the case of MF Global specifically. We offered these guarantees not because we were required to do so, but because we felt it was absolutely the right thing for us to do. We need to face this. We're in uncharted territory. And we felt an inherent responsibility to all of our customers to help them receive distributions as quickly as possible. Since the time we offered the guarantee, the trustee has made two more distributions of customer funds. Both, he has clearly stated, were made only possible because of the guarantees that CME put up. The process of returning warehouse receipts to customers is also beginning. As a result of these actions, MF Global's customers, not just CME Group customers, but MF Global customers overall have received a total of 72% of their balances. Again, though this indeed feels like slow progress, I think we do need not to regard it as unimportant, but very, very important steps, very positive steps in the right direction. Now let's turn to the path ahead. What do we do from here? MF Global's transfer of segregated funds out of the appropriate accounts, let's be perfectly clear, constitutes major and serious violations of our rules and regulations, and also major violations of the Commodities Exchange Act. And I assure you, we are fully cooperating with federal agencies that are conducting that investigation. So as we go into Q&A a little bit later, there are certain things that I'm just not going to be able to speak to, and I hope that you can appreciate the confidentiality of a federal review that's underway to get down to the answers. But we recognize that these investigations, while very important to all of us, are not the chief concern of those of you who have lost funds. There are a lot of facts that need to be sorted out. But we do need to know. Right now, our industry needs to focus on solutions that protect customer funds at every level. That's why we took the important first step we did yesterday. The Family Farmer and Rancher Protection Fund will provide an additional measure of security for customer segregated funds that is specifically aimed at the farmer and the rancher community, including many of you here today. Under the fund, which we expect to be available March 1st, farmers, ranchers, and co-ops hedging on our exchanges will be eligible for additional protections in the case of a future insolvency of a firm, as I mentioned a few moments ago. The fund is valued at $100 million. If losses in future failure total more than $100 million, participants will be eligible for a prorata distribution up to that $100 million maximum. Now, this fund is expected to be backed by an insurance policy, and it will not be available retroactively. By establishing this fund, we're not suggesting that a case similar to MF Global's failure is likely to happen again. Far from it. The fact is, MF Global found a way to violate a system that had worked flawlessly for 75 years. We are making sure that, in the critical role you play in our markets and in feeding the world, you do not again find yourselves in a position that you did the weeks following MF Global's demise. We know additional steps will be necessary when all of the facts of this case are available. And we recognize that a holistic solution, one that touches every single aspect of the marketplace, is in order. In that regard, we believe that all viable alternatives should be up for consideration. If there's a responsible proposal for further protecting funds held at the firm level, I assure you, we're more than eager to explore it. We're working with the industry to evaluate any and all proposals. As you may have seen, the CME Group is part of the National Futures Organization and the Futures Industry Association efforts to recommend additional solutions for protecting customer funds at the member firm level. I can assure you that these efforts will be exhaustive and that we look forward to working with the entire community to do as much as we can to prevent another MF Global from ever happening again. As I said at the outset, all of you, you represent one of this country's greatest resources. Not only do you trade in live cattle or feed grains, those of you in this audience are investing significant capital to produce, store, process, and deliver them. You do all of this with no promise of things like good health for your livestock, favorable regulation, favorable weather conditions, or consistent market conditions in other parts of the globe. We understand the significant risk that you face every day. It's why we exist. So when, in an effort to manage all of this risk, you lose funds, even temporarily, that's troubling, and it's our responsibility to restore your confidence. Going forward, we will continue, I assure you, to work with the industry groups like the NCBA to evaluate the lessons of this terrible experience and ensure that in the future, the industry continues to establish greater protections for customer funds at the firm level. Again, I deeply appreciate the opportunity to share our thoughts with you. On behalf of our Chairman, Terry Duffy, and our Board of Directors, we deeply appreciate the invitation to be with you today, and I would be happy to take any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Any questions from anybody? Please step to the mic.
Yes, sir. I'm Fred Walker from Montana. I'm a rancher and a backgrounder, and I finish my cattle. I use the Chicago Merck to lay my risk off.
Thank you, sir.
In layman's terms, we always felt that when you dealt with the CME, that you were dealing with complete confidence in the financial stability and the regulations that the Merck was using to regulate the traders, that we were in very safe hands. The MF Global thing is going to, when it's all said and done, some people are going to lose. And I've been told that the Farmer Rancher Fund or the fund in the event of a trader going down has a lot of money in it. It surprises me that with the amount of money that supposedly is available there and that goes through there, why anybody should have to lose any money when they've done business in good faith with the Chicago Merc. It would seem to me that they ought to, with all haste, they should make all the losses good, take over this bad situation. They should take a look not only at their regulations that they're using and examine what happened, and they should correct it. But I don't see why the people who are putting the faith and confidence into the Chicago Merc should have to suffer a financial loss. Is there a possibility that that will happen?
Well, sir, first of all, I very much appreciate your business, and I also deeply appreciate what you've just communicated to me in the context of you did nothing wrong in all of this. You had the confidence and faith in putting up your collateral, and I'm assuming you've had relatively positive experiences with the markets up until this situation occurred.
That is absolutely correct.
I'm making an assumption, but I'm...
Yes.
So, you know, as we've addressed this situation, you know, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the regulatory aspects and the programs in place. You know, first and foremost, we invest heavily in the regulation and the audits of our firms. We have over 200 professionals, auditors, and investigators on our staff that go in and review and conduct reviews of our members and our member firms. It's a $40 million annual investment that we put into maintaining a very strong self-regulatory program. With respect to, you know, the situation at hand, you know, we conducted the audits in accordance with the federal regulations. We did our spot checks, and we were in there that week when there was some concerns about Moody's and you know, downgrading MF. And we were, you know, on the scene, in there with our auditors throughout that entire week. We were presented with the appropriate segregated accounting information. We were provided with backup to tie in all of that information, which demonstrated that they were in full segregated compliance. So everything that we saw, you know, leading up to the Sunday before they filed bankruptcy, which was on the 31st, gave every indication and confirmation from the firm, and looking at all of the information in tie-ins, that not only were they in compliance, but up until towards the end of that week, it had been represented that there was excess segregated assets on deposit. So we have all of that information. We do all of those audits. Everything looks like it's checking out. And then, you know, late into Sunday evening, we get contacted, and so does the CFTC, that, you know, there is an issue, and that they're under-segregated. And as we come on to the force, and at the time it was represented to us as an accounting type of an error, well, we couldn't find any kind of a accounting error, but something happened in that very short period where money was transferred out of segregation that should never have happened. Now, all of that as, you know, the backdrop, you know, we're certainly very sensitive to what's being said in terms of why should you be losing or out any funds. We feel very strongly about trying to get everybody their funds back as soon as possible, and that's why we took the unprecedented steps that we did to put up the $550 million backstop guarantees. This additional step that we've taken with respect to the Family Farmer and Rancher Fund is an additional safeguard that we're putting forth. And there's further, obviously, industry-wide reviews that we're putting in place. And I think throughout my remarks here, I've indicated our objective and our goal is to make sure that we never have a situation like this occur again. doesn't totally answer your question in terms of, well, why don't you just, you know, buy all of this out? Or we don't even know the total extent. We have a good sense, but at the end of the day, that would be establishing quite a very serious precedent when you look at the amount of segregated funds that are on deposit at FCMs, which is around $200 billion. And for our company, we would not be able to hold ourselves to guaranteeing that level of responsibility or exposure. And so it's you know, a very complicated situation, and you know, we're working very, very hard day in and day out. Our goal is to get all of your funds back to you.
Oh, I understand, and I certainly appreciate that. But the part that is of interest to me, are we going into the FDIC thing that if you have a lot of money at risk in a bank that you should spread it around among different banks? Or should we not be doing all our trading with one firm? Or is this farmer and rancher guarantee just for one firm? And possibly we should limit our exposure so that this does. I don't want to get caught up in it. I don't want to get into a deal where we don't get back very much money. Now, I appreciate the fact, and I think a lot of people I've talked to that are concerned that the obviously the regulations and the audits were not good enough to keep this from happening. Somehow this thing happened. It's a real thing, and it's a very unfortunate thing. It's a damaging thing, and it appears to me that not only some new regulations need to be put in place, but my question is, should we be spreading our hedging business out among multiple firms rather than putting all our eggs in one basket?
Well, I can't give you guidance on how you should handle your personal business.
Excuse me, sir. I think you. I think I've made myself clear. But is the Farmer Rancher Guarantee Fund, is it per firm if two firms go down, or is it on one firm?
Our board of directors have the authority to make the determination. Right now, it's limited to a maximum of $100 million. Period.
I see.
We're still defining the actual eligibility aspects and who may or may not register for the fund, and that information will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, I would, you know, urge you to review our website over the course of the next couple of weeks to get the details of all of that. But I wanted to leave you with a final thought with respect to the going forward and what's to be expected from the industry in this regard. I firmly believe that there will be some added refinements to the regulations that exist today with respect to the handling of segregated assets. And we're taking a very driving lead in terms of the actual control of those assets. And I think that those are certainly, you know, issues that, again, there's complexities that have to be affirmed and worked out through the industry in terms of the mechanics of how to manage that process. But I definitely feel that there will be refinements to the program that exists today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Jay?
I'm Jay Wolf from Nebraska. I've got a two-part question. Could you explain to us in layman terms, what is a segregated fund? What does that mean to me when I have an account? And are there any circumstances where it is legal You know, when I have money that is in margin or excess margin, that where that money would be invested in, be it a CD or treasury or any other financial instrument.
So first of all, under our regulations and under the Commodity Exchange Act and the CFTC, segregated funds are very specifically defined as those assets that belong to customers of an FCM, so a firm that is carrying business for anyone other than the firm's proprietary account. Those assets are required to be segregated and kept in a separate pool. Those assets may not be commingled and put together with the house's proprietary funds or assets. So, you know, the segregated process, which has been in place ever since time began, has worked extremely well, except, you know, this recent unfortunate event, where obviously somebody did something that violated the rules and the laws. And we don't have all of the facts. Those facts will be coming out, hopefully sooner rather than later. But, you know, we're waiting for the forensic review to be completed by the federal agencies. With respect to those segregated assets, under a regulation called Regulation 1.25, under the CFTC, those funds may be invested overnight, but I urge you to look at Regulation 1.25 to get the full listing of what those investments may be. But they're very specific and they're very highly regulated by the U.S. government. To give you an example, funds may be invested in U.S. governments, U.S. munis, CDs that are bank-issued, certain commercial paper, certain corporate bonds. But there's very specific criteria and very specific liquidity provisions that must be met under the federal regulations.
Pedro.
I want to get clear about this fund for the ranchers. You said it was limited up to $25,000 per person.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, per family farmer. But
per
we
family
have not,
farmer.
But we have not come up with the total definition. That's coming out in the next couple of weeks. But, yes, per family farmer.
So, really, all you're talking about, like for feeder cattle, is about 1,200 head.
I don't have the
I mean, it's third
number,
grade math.
Yes.
You ought to figure it in your head. And the other thing, too, that would have stopped this is on these segregated funds. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it's fair, right, that you, as the CME or a broker, I don't know the exchange broker, should be able to take those funds and invest them in anything and make a profit on them. It's my money, not yours. And if Global had not been able to do that, they wouldn't have stuck them in something that lost money. Am I right?
Very sensitive to what you're saying. The CFTC actually modified the regulation. It's a federal regulation that allows for these investments to
I'm
occur.
Saying no investment. Well, you're investing my money for your gain.
Yeah,
and I don't get a damn thing.
And I totally appreciate, sir, what you're saying, but I'm just telling you what the federal law is right now.
Right. CME's got a, you know, I used to think it wasn't some third world country we were dealing with, an exchange over there, but with this kind of screw up, it seemed it may be. I don't understand, you know, I don't know. But you could get that rule passed, I assume, through Congress, if you were for it, to where the CME or any introducing broker could not make a profit on these exchanges, on any money on these segregated funds. That kills the incentive to, or kills the ability from them to be able to take that and invest it in anything.
Well, I will certainly take your suggestion under advisement. Thank you for that.
That's a good way of saying we'll see you.
No, actually, sir, If I may, actually, the CFTC did significantly reduce the number of instruments that a firm may invest those funds in. And I believe the new rule that I'm referring to goes into effect February 15th. But, no, I definitely will take your comments back to our board, and I mean that sincerely.
Lastly, we're going to take James Herring, and then we're going to move on off of this. Yes, sir, James.
James Herring. I'm from Amarillo, Texas. I'm in the cattle feeding business out in the Texas Panhandle. And
good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for coming here and facing this barrage. You can tell there's some emotion involved in this subject. I noticed from reviewing some of the mercantile material that was mailed to individual investors and to the press after this happened that there are clearing firm guarantees, clearing firm bonds, insurance policies incorporated by the mercantile group, et cetera, to protect the clearinghouse where people's margin money is maintained. For those people that had initial and maintenance margin up and no excess funds, and by the way, I think those funds, and if I'm not mistaken, total the bonds, guarantees, monies, reserve funds, et cetera, by the Merck, totaled $91 billion, then why is it that the Merck has been so reticent to come forward with some protection for those people who had just margin money at the clearing firm?
Well, that's a very good question. I appreciate your asking it, sir. First of all, the guarantee fund that you're referring to is the guarantee fund for the clearing house. So that guarantee is there to back up every single trade that occurs on our markets every day. When you're talking about approximately 13 million contracts that trade hands every day, that brings you up to the significant number that you had mentioned in terms of margins on deposit, in addition to the guarantee fund held by the clearing organization. But that guarantee fund and those monies are there to support the guarantee of every trade, so the sanctity of the clearing system. We had approximately, in this situation, I believe it was around $2.3 billion in collateral that was there for MF Global Business. All of the segregated assets that were required to be on deposit with CME Clearing were there. They were accounted for in full. There was no failure of the clearing system. So that guarantee and those monies associated with that are only there to be able to be utilized when there's an actual clearing default. There was no clearing default. All of the monies that were required as collateral to back up all of the positions for all CME contracts through MF Global were there and accounted for by the clearinghouse. So we would not be in a position and cannot use that guarantee for these purposes. It's strictly for clearing.
So all of those funds can't be utilized in this instance where that clearing mechanism, even if it's only for initial and maintenance margin that was maintained at the clearinghouse,
that's correct.
They can't be used for this.
That's correct.
Thank you,
sir.
Go ahead.
My name's Robert O'Brien. I'm from Chicago. I work for Straits Financial, which is a full clearing member of the CME.
If you get a little closer to the microphone.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you.
In July, there was news that came out that MF Global was undercapitalized by $150 million, correct?
I don't remember the time period.
The reason I mention that is because I'm not sure how aware clients of MF Global were of this news. And they went out and they got more capital, but Do you think it's in the best interest of the CME to make it more public when a financial firm has to go out and raise capital if they're undercapitalized?
You know, it's a point to give consideration to. I would have to, though, without commenting any further, I don't know what the actual regulatory or legal restrictions would be in that regard. But I certainly take what you're saying.
Thank you.